B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you make of this move by Kawhi, not only going to the Clippers, but also getting Paul George to leave the Thunder and join him?
Well, I think it was a power move of epic proportions. And I think one of the people that you can credit, obviously, is LeBron James in a roundabout way. The fact that he's in L.A. at the Staples Center, and ultimately facilitated Anthony Davis arriving in Los Angeles with him, put the Clippers in a tremendous bind. Clearly, they wanted Kawhi Leonard desperately. He's a superstar and a top five player in the game. Nobody's denying that. But the other thing that you have to take into consideration is that if you don't get him, then you're talking about the possibility, the threat of Kawhi Leonard being able to still be in the same arena, in the same city, playing with LeBron James, as opposed to you. And if you're the Clippers, you've got the richest owner in the sport. Your right-hand man is arguably the greatest executive in the history of the sport. And you have a Hall of Fame caliber coach in Doc Rivers. You've got all of that at your disposal. And still, you're the fair weather stepchild compared to the Los Angeles Lakers, because all the stars came to them instead of you. Obviously, the Clippers could not allow that. So that's why not only was Kawhi Leonard able to facilitate his arrival in L.A., but he did so by ensuring that Paul George arrived with him, and the Clippers were willing to surrender what amounts to 5 first-round picks and 2 players. Unbelievable move on Kawhi Leonard. Unbelievable power play.
So again, Stephen A. Smith, take from over the weekend. That was a stunner. That was a good move. That was ballsy right there by Kawhi Leonard, which is what the league has become, in a league full of power plays. I mean, what LeBron and Anthony Davis pulled off? Complete, utter power play.
No question. Yeah, LeBron started all this. And look, in a lot of ways, I give him credit for it. I say he started it like it's a bad thing. LeBron recognized the power of the star player in that league and exploited it. And now other people have lined up behind him. Whether it's been Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, they've all done it. They've all done it now because LeBron led the way.
Well, it's time now for the DN Van Lines moves around the league. And it's the NBA, the whole league. The whole league moved. The whole league had a game of musical chairs, and it's just about over, although there still may be another domino to drop now. Now you have Russell Westbrook in OKC talking about, well, we're rebuilding. You just traded our second best player for 7 draft picks or whatever it is, and now I'm sitting here alone, so why don't you go for the full rebuild and move me? And a team that, you know, is mentioned is Miami, which Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if that's championship medal, but does that get in front of you in the Eastern Conference?
It's close. I put it in the same group. I mean, to me, there's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 teams in the league that I look at now and say, oh, man, they're all pretty good still. Assuming health.
Okay, Maz.
Right? Except for Durant.
Maz, give me your NBA power rankings, please.
Okay, I would go Clippers first, Lakers. I still have Golden State third, and that's assuming Klay Thompson's healthy. Like, when he gets healthy. I mean, you still got those 3 guys together, right? Like, well, it's still pretty good.
Well, you still have, right, Curry, Draymond Green, and now D'Angelo Russell.
I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then I'd put Milwaukee, maybe Houston, and then in a pile, Philly, Utah, Boston, Indiana, Miami, Brooklyn.
Where's Denver?
Oh, Denver's in there, too.
Is it in there or above there?
No,
I put the 2 seed in the West.
I put Denver probably right in the same area as Houston, right above those guys.
Just as a quick aside, where do you have Golden State again?
Third.
Oh, interesting. I guess you can kind of.
I know, yeah, I guess Curry is. Curry. Yeah, he's.
Well, there's no super team out there anymore, legit, Murray, so anyone can win it. Well,
especially Curry.
Clippers.
That's interesting.
I got the Clippers number 1 Clippers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That was a good catch, Murray.
It would take some other people to have injuries for Golden State to win.
You think if the.
Like it did the first time with Curry.
You think if Steph Curry wasn't worth building around, they'd be a little lower.
Right, yeah.
No, third, that's elite.
7th is where I have them. And I believe in Steph Curry as someone you can actually.
Well, D'Angelo Russell was a big pickup.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, like, you could make the case. Lakers, Clippers are obvious, right? The Warriors, if Clay, I mean, I know what an ACL is in football. It's 9 months. What's it in basketball? Is it more? Is it less? If it's 9 months, he's got a shot there.
No, I think it's around the same.
If it's 9 months, he's, you know, he's there after the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, game on. And the Warriors have to be considered. Houston, despite all their problems, they hate each other like poison, like cat fights in the locker room. They're all still, they haven't moved a body, have they?
There's still a lot of talent there.
It's still Harden, Chris Paul's there, Capella, like they're all still there, right?
Yeah, they're trying to get Westbrook too.
Oh, that would be great.
Talk about an a-hole magnet.
I wanted them to get Jimmy Butler.
So, Portland, still there. Lillard, McCollum. Didn't they add Kent Bazemore?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Does that
I forgot about Portland.
Does that do anything? There was a 3 seed.
I have them as my number 4 team in my power rankings.
Yeah, Bazemore and Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. So Portland was the 3 seed to begin with out West. Now they add those bodies. They went to the West Conference Finals. They got swept.
Yep.
But they beat Denver in the second round.
Yeah.
So Portland is still there. You can make a case there. Denver was the 2 seed in the West, and Jokic, one of the best young players in the game. They brought back the entire team intact, right?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Nurkic is hurt, but that's why they got Whiteside.
Okay, Utah is still sort of there. They added Bogdanovich and Mike Conley. Does that do anything to move the needle?
It does for me. I think that you could make the argument, for the second-tier teams, that Utah had one of the best off seasons.
They definitely did. Yeah, and that's, to me, they're in that second group.
Look at that. But Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, Rockets, Blazers, Nuggets, Jazz. There's 7 freaking teams in the West. Like, you could kind of sort of make a case for.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they'll all be in the playoffs.
Not just that, though. I don't know. Maybe Utah doesn't belong up there, but Denver was considered a contender. Portland was in the West Finals. I don't know. I just think that's great balance in the league.
It is. It's good.
Great balance out West. The East is a little different. Milwaukee loses Brogdon. Otherwise, they bring back their team. Toronto's done. Forget that. You won't see them anymore.
Right, they're going to you'd probably see some guys like Lowry and not Siakam, but
Gasol.
Yeah, Gasol probably traded at the trade deadline.
Or Ibaka.
Yeah,
Gasol would be a perfect fit for the Celtics for 1 year rental.
So see what happens there, but Toronto done. Philly, Jimmy Butler out, Al Horford in. Don't think that, and they also lose Redick, but don't think that's a net positive for Philadelphia?
Sure.
They gained. Brooklyn, even without Durant, it's Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan. A lot of guys love this LeVert kid. Celtics are...
Jared Allen is a young and upcoming big man.
Who do you got, Brooklyn or the Celtics?
This year, the Celtics.
Okay. So whatever Brooklyn has, it's not enough to get past Boston, you don't think?
It's close.
And Miami, if Miami adds Russell Westbrook to Jimmy Butler, that's an interesting one.
Oh, my gosh, please. Again, that's like a disaster waiting to happen, the two of them. There might not be Westbrook and Harden are in contention every year for the dumbest player in the league. Because one of those guys is guaranteed to do something stupid or take stupid shots or just do stupid things on the floor. So, like, you put him with Butler, not to mention the personality potential clash there with Butler and Westbrook. Oh, that'd be huge.
It's like, other than
a disaster waiting to happen.
Other than you, or maybe Denver or Utah, a team like that, these are all engineered by the players themselves. These are all and the more you read it and consider it, what happened in Brooklyn is like Durant following Kyrie Irving. Doesn't it have that whiff?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That, if all things were equal, Durant would have been with the Knicks, but it was Kyrie that talked him into going to the Nets. And then they talked their buddy into, so it's all, this is not GMing. This is not like team building. This is just players calling the shots and getting together with their buddies. Everywhere you look, that's what happened with the Lakers. The players and the agent engineered that thing. That's what just happened here with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is making calls. He's the one that called Durant. He called Durant and tried to talk Durant out of the Nets and to come with him to the Clippers. Durant said, no, I'm already committed. Then it's Kawhi who called Paul George and said, would you want to do it? Paul George said yes, and then they each went to their respective GMs and said, we want this, now do this. And they had to do it. Sam Presti had to trade George out of OKC, and whoever the poor schmuck is the GM with the Clippers had to give up 7 first-round picks because Kawhi said so. So that team is put together by the players. The Lakers are put together by the players. The Nets are put together by the players. What's going on in Miami is going to be, I don't know if that's Riley or what, but that's going to be player-driven too. Butler and Westbrook, can they coexist? It's all being driven by the players, which, I don't know. The end result is entertaining. It's good. But I think that frustrates some people. Put it to me.
Oh, it does.
Put it to you like that.
It frustrates people here, but only because the Celtics aren't able to pull it off. If we were in any one of those other markets, we would love this. And the fact is that take yourself out of it. Look at it from the landscape of the league. the league, the changing and shuffling that's going on in the league, it's good for the league. It's great for the league. I mean, think of it. You've got Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James going nose-to-nose for L.A.
It's tremendous.
Forget the league. They're going nose-to-nose for L.A.
Well, so winners and losers in free agency. I think ultimately the Lakers were a winner, obviously, because you end up with two of the top six players in the league or whatever it is. However, this last little round was sort of a pork job.
Yeah, this wasn't the true plan. They got Davis, but they were all in on Kawhi Leonard.
And you end up with Boogie Cousins?
They whiffed.
And Rondo?
And it just feels like they're, you know, it's a nice, they have some nice players there, but obviously with LeBron and Davis, but some of those other players, but it's top heavy, and those guys got to stay healthy if they're going to make any kind of real run.
So the huge winners are the Clippers and the Nets. I still think the Celts are a big loser. If you looked at last year, the odds to win the championship, you were probably the second team on the board.
And nobody thought it was going to be this.
Now you're the 12th team on the board or something. So you just sort of overnight in 1 year with this game of musical chairs, even though you got someone to land with your team, you sort of went from like the next team. That's what we all thought the Celtics were at this point last year. The next team to
Kemba Walker and hoping the best for the kids.
Ooh, just sort of resetting and like there's.
But at least you got Kemba Walker.
At least you got something.
You could have had another Amir Johnson.
No, that's true.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's true.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse. So OKC gets porked. Toronto gets porked. Like, overnight, Toronto goes from champion, viable team to, are they even going to make the playoffs? I mean, so they get porked, obviously.
See, I still think the Lakers are a winner. They get Anthony Davis. You know, one of the top five players in the league. Like, I can't sit here and tell you it's a star-driven league. And then they get one of the stars, and that's not a plus? That's a plus. Totally. Then the Clippers got two of them, two of the top 10 probably.
Biggest losers, though, remain the New York Knicks.
Huge.
Can you imagine?
Oh, God.
Absolutely freaking porked.
And you know what has to, but what hurts for the Celtics, it's one thing to lose out to the Lakers because you're just going to, everyone is, when it comes to these free agents. It's just the way it is. You lost out to the freaking Clippers and the Nets and these teams. I mean, you had buried the Nets as a franchise, napalmed them, as I've said, with that trade. And now what? 6 years later, whatever it is, they've jumped back ahead of you with the stars that you coveted.
And the Clippers are one of the most irrelevant franchises, not just the NBA, but of all sports. And that, you know, just a handful of years ago were owned by an overt racist. No one was going to go there. No free agents wanted a part of it. And now they're like the favorite to win the championship.
And your former coach was one of the draws.
Your Bucks took a little bit of a spanking, too.
No question.
They lost Brogdon and nobody else went.
Well, Lopez's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't forget.
Ooh.
Don't forget. All right, so anyway, there's your NBA reset. Back to your calls on a Reentry Monday right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
I want to get to Russell Westbrook because Woj reporting Russ and his agent talking to the Thunder about the next step of his career, whether it's time to move on. Now he does have 4 years, $170 million left on his contract. Thunder Eve are in the luxury tax now, so it would behoove them to make a change. Perk, you played on this team. You played with these guys. What do you think about the idea of Russ maybe moving on from Oklahoma City?
Listen, it's time for him to move on. The simple fact that with the trade of PG, that means that the Thunder are thinking about rebuilding. Listen, Russ lead the Thunder organization in the history of points, assists, rebounds, steals, and whatever the case may be. So I think Russ, it's time for him to move on. I think he goes in, have an intellectual conversation with Sam Presti, and I think he moves on. I talk to him. I think I see him in a Miami Heat jersey.
Ooh, I have heard rumors about the Heat. Are you telling us that that's information?
That's where I think he fits best at.
All
right. I can see him pairing up with Jimmy Butler and Dion Waiters down there with Eric Sposa.
It's Kendrick Perkins on ESPN. Talk about the moves around the league, and that concludes the DN Van Lines moves around the league. Making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. Back to your thoughts on this. The Red Sox, whatever you want. For example, Tom and Quincy. First half grade, Maz gives them an F. What do you give them, Tom?
F's a little harsh, but I'll go a hot D. And the only reason I won't give them an F, I mean, the whole pitching staff gets an F besides Price, but the few bright spots on the offensive side as far as Bogaerts, Devers, and Vasquez. I don't know. I don't think anyone saw the Vasquez thing coming.
Me neither, yeah.
Seriously, like, he should be an all-star as well with Devers. Devers might be in that MVP voting in the end of the year. They keep it up the way that him and Bogaerts are going. But, yeah, without those four guys and Chavis, I'd give him an F too, because there's not a single person that I know, friends of mine, or anyone I speak to about the Sox ever, that they thought that they would be 9 games out of first place at the All-Star game and out of the wild card. I mean, please. So, yeah, I go D, not as harsh as Maz, although I understand the frustration, trust me. But, yeah, I mean, nothing seeing above from me.
Okay.
No way.
I understand. They're a season-high 8 games over 500. They came back from London where we all thought, and if you're being honest with yourself and your audience, Maz, we all thought they would come back from London, struggle, and blame the travel on it.
Yep, I did.
Okay? They came back and won 5 of 6.
Yep.
So that's got to just give you a little bit of a upward thought there going into the All-Star break. No?
Nope.
Good God.
We've done this before. We've seen them play well against bad teams for a week. Now, again, I recognize
we thought they'd play bad against the bad teams this week.
Yeah, but they didn't. So good. But again, you asked me earlier, what is their grade for the first half? The first half as a team. So to Tom and Quincy's point, you want me to give individual grades? Fine, let's go. I'll give you individual grades. Bogaerts, A. Devers, A. I'm happy to give those guys A's. But as a collective, as a team, colossal failure.
Mookie Betts.
D plus.
C minus, maybe, if I'm in a good mood. Otherwise, I'd...
When are you in a good mood?
Okay, D. D plus. Somewhere not good enough. Not good enough. I mean, I'm not paying you $20 million a year to be a good player. I'm paying you to be a great player. Be a great player. So there are very few guys in this team, to me, that have played above expectation. But in the aggregate, who in their right mind? If the season ended today, they'd be out. They're out. Who in their right mind would deem that a successful season? No way. No freaking way. It's a fail. Right now, it's a fail as a collective.
I say D. I don't want to go as harsh as Maz is because I'm with the caller. Like, if you look in and factor in certain players, Bogaerts, Devers, Vasquez, Price, it hadn't been all bad. They'd have to be all bad for them to get an F. It ain't that bad.
Right.
But a D. But a D.
An F is they crater. They tank. They plummet. They haven't. They're right in the mix.
Mike, they're out of the playoffs.
They're 2 games out.
They're out of the playoffs. I don't care how many they're out. They're out. You're either in or you're out. They're out.
If they were 1 game in the wild card, what would you give them?
F. C minus.
You'd still give them
an F. That's a big jump.
No, I wouldn't, because I picked them to win the wild card at the beginning of the year. I picked the Yankees to win the division. But there is no excuse. None. I'm sorry. On this one, I'm not bending. There's no excuse for them to be out of the playoffs.
Women's,
with that roster and that payroll, no excuse.
U.S. women's team, tremendous balls. There's no other. I'm not making a remark there. I'm just, you know, how else do you say it? Play guts and toughness and their clutch. And the men play like a bunch of ninnies. Why? Marion Cohasset, why? Why does men's soccer suck in this country?
I think it sucks in the country because there's no women's football. I mean, you men have other options. They want to play football. They want to play basketball. They want to play hockey. Girls really don't, unless you're really tall. You
know? Hey, Mary, do you understand how many good athletes we have? So even if, and I've made this before, like, if you just give me all of our great athletes in the country, I'll tell you, fine, the first team, the second team, the third team, the first 3 levels of those great athletes are going to go play basketball and football and baseball or lacrosse or whatever. Fine, I grant you that. Our 4th string athlete, our 5th string athlete, is still so vastly superior to, just say, for example, the Argentinian athlete. It's not even close. So you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
We still have the best athletes in the world. We still have the athletic ability to be the best soccer playing nation in the world, or at least a top 5 soccer playing nation. Why? Why aren't we there?
I just disagree with that, with some of these South American countries where they have kids playing since they're 4 or 5 years old.
So that's technical skill. That's not overall athletic ability. Two different things.
So what are you basing this on? Like just genetics, training methods? Like
speed, athleticism, coordination, size. We have it, baby. We have it.
I feel like you could find that just about anywhere in the world. I mean, we have it in mass, but I feel like...
Does Argentina produce our 6 foot, you know, 4, 250-pound inside linebackers that run a 4.740? Do other countries produce that?
No, but I mean, they produce some of the best soccer players on the planet,
okay,
though.
But these are talking about different things, right? But the pure athletes we have.
The point being that the athlete should be easy to teach the skill to. And for whatever reason, we haven't been able to make that you know, translation.
We have enough players to be elite.
So I just looked it up. The American population is about 330 million. Argentina is 45.
Thank you.
I mean, it's 7-1.
All right, so numbers alone. Yeah. Okay, I can understand where you're going.
Before we even get to Trinidad and Tobago and Panama and these teams that we couldn't get past in the last round of qualifying. I mean, that's a freaking joke. So that goes, so don't say we don't, you know, our best athletes are playing other sports. They are. Our second best athletes are still better than most of the world. Pure athletic ability. And I don't know. The women's team is just so, such a great product to root for. And like everything that you want, personality and verve.
Well, maybe it has a lot more to do with what Taylor Twellman was saying when he called the show earlier. They're coached by idiots.
Maybe that's it.
I mean, the infrastructure's not there. That's clear. Like, you know, but even so, you'd think it'd be better than it was. Like to miss the World Cup, to miss it. 330 million people in this country and with those kinds of athletes.
Oh, it's inexcusable.
And meanwhile, this far along, it's
inexcusable.
Yeah. And meanwhile, women are curb stomping the planet. Phil in New Hampshire, your thoughts?
Yeah, you're all pretty close on this, but Title IX had a lot to do with it. But so far as athletes are concerned, we specialize. Most American sports are hand-eye coordinated. The rest of the world use their feet. I was reffing college women in the 70s and 80s, and they were almost at the semi-pro level.
I understand. Phil, I'm just going to cut you off. I mean, I understand all that, and I think that's historical. But it's now been 20, 30 years since we really invested in the sport and MLS and all this stuff. And so, like, how long is that going to take for us to learn how to play with our feet? I think a generation, a full generation and a half or whatever it's been, is enough for us to learn how to kick a freaking ball. I mean, I'm sorry. How long should that really take? We've had, again, three different generations of kids growing up and learning this stuff now, and we're worse than we were 30 years ago. We're 30 years between times that we missed the World Cup. Greg and Lincoln, your thoughts on the NBA offseason. Hi, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I've never seen such a good offseason as this one in the NBA, and you know, it's the drama of all these players leaving teams hanging and really screwing them over. Now, we knew Kyrie was going to flee the Celtics and screw them over, but, you know, we didn't see Al Horford coming. And, geez, the Lakers really put a lot of eggs in that basket to think they were going to get Kawhi when Kawhi really had no intentions of going there, I believe, and really just dragged that out to screw them over.
See, I think that last point's good. I think the Lakers got hoodwinked. They got bamboozled. Because if I had to, you know, it sounded like Kawhi was playing the Clippers off the Lakers at the end, but I think he was doing it for leverage. I don't think he had any intention to go playing with LeBron at the end of the day.
Didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, you look at it, and he was using him.
According to the reporting, the Raptors were in second place. The Raptors were considering sending a similar package that the Clippers did for Paul George to go to Toronto. But at the end, the Masai Ujiri,
yeah,
little smarter and little less desperate, I guess, than the Clippers, and he wouldn't give up quite the draft picks. But
I mean, I don't think it would have involved Siakam, too, and I don't think he wanted to move him from what I was reading.
Jimmy?
There was a great rumor that was floating around my messages that Kawhi actually told Lakers management, if you want me, trade LeBron.
Oh, that's right. You put that in the email. So, I mean, did the Lakers, I mean, they had to have gotten a better gauge on that because they did. They had a chance to, you know, I mean, wouldn't Jimmy Butler look better on that team than Boogie Cousins or what they ended up with?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Al Horford would look better on the Lakers.
Al Horford would be better.
He'd be perfect for them.
And that's why I feel like they lost. Like, the Lakers are losers here, at least after this weekend. They put all their chips in the middle. They did all that reconfiguring last week. It felt like they're going to be the ones getting Kawhi Leonard. And they end up with Boogie Cousins and Rajon Rondo.
If Kawhi... this thing went...
I'm sorry. That really blew up in their face. And, Jimmy, can you expound on that rumor? Because it's a lot better than just demanding trading LeBron James.
Yeah, so what I did in the opening paragraph of our email was, I felt the Clippers were the favorites, but on Wednesday, a person I trusted told me the Lakers, made me think the Lakers. I was told, and this is a great rumor, Leonard said he'd come to the Lakers if the Lakers traded LeBron James. One of the reasons why Leonard called Paul George was because George and LeBron have a thing. The thing is, Paul George always wanted to be a Laker, and LeBron James blocked that from happening. Paul George ended up staying in OKC for another year. For Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, this is great revenge porn.
It is. And reap what you sow, LeBron. You screwed yourself.
But talk about a Don move.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll come to your team, but you have to trade LeBron.
Using the Lakers and LeBron on top of it. This is why I like Kawhi Leonard. He's the only guy in that league that'll get in LeBron's face and say, screw you. Like, not only am I coming to L.A., I'm going to be better than you. I'm going to beat your ass.
We continue to take your calls here on a reentry Monday right after Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Milger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Cut on and missed, and it's finally over. Red Sox win it by a final score of 6-3. They sweep the series here in Detroit, and they have won 4 consecutive games heading into the All-Star break.
Red Sox hit the All-Star break on a high note, surprising everybody in this room by winning 5 of 6 after returning home from London. Yet some people aren't willing to give them any credit. Shockingly enough, Anthony Maserati is that person. So first half grade F for Maz. You also want to keep trading Mookie Betts? You still on this thing?
I'm telling you, at the end of the season, if he won't sign, I'm moving him. I mean, plain and simple. Rafael Devers, to me, his emergence has made Mookie expendable. And
why are you buying in on Rafi Devers when he has half a year, but when Betts does that, you don't buy in? I don't get it.
No, I believe in Betts' ability. I don't believe in his power, per se, to the opposite field, but you've never heard me say Betts is a bad player. Betts is a good player. He's a little overrated. People here talk about him like he's, you know, the greatest thing ever. He's not. There are deficiencies in his game, and I worry about the smaller guys holding up over time. I do. I'm sorry. I'm a sizist in every sport. I like big players. I like guys that have durability. I do. And so, but the signability thing is the issue with Mookie. If Mookie's not going to commit to you, see you later. Sorry. I can't let a guy like that walk out the door and get nothing. Can't do it. And the fact that Devers is now hitting the way he's hitting gives me more confidence to do it. That's all. Between Bogarts and Devers in the middle of that lineup, I can find a number 5 hitter. I'll be all right offensively. I'll be all right. I might not be the best in the league. I mean, right now, you realize they're first in the league again in runs scored?
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
I mean, they're right back where they were. They are first in the league in runs scored. Now, that might be a little deceiving just because they played, I think, one more game than some other teams. But regardless, they were top 3 offense in the league. They still are. And so will they slide a little if they lose Mookie? Yeah, maybe, at least in the short term. But you can't let a guy like that walk and get nothing. He doesn't want to sign. See you later. I trade him.
Okay. Now we've moved you to the end of the year versus at this deadline.
Yeah, if someone knocked me over, I would do it at this deadline. That's all I've ever said there.
With the team in contention.
Yeah, I would. I don't believe in this team this year. The more that it has gone on, the more frustrated I get.
Well, so hold, wait. You're more frustrated after this last week?
I'm more frustrated. I'm as frustrated as I've been all year long.
Yeah, but
I'm not any less frustrated.
But if it was winning the last week, that would make sense because they only played two real games in the last week and they got their asses kicked in them.
Yeah, all I'm telling you is
that you guys are unbelievable.
Why?
You don't take the results into account.
No, they're playing garbage. That doesn't count.
Yeah, they were garbage was on the schedule.
And at the end of this month, Mike, into August, they play 14 straight games against the Yankees in Tampa. Talk to me then. Let's see how it looks in a month.
And they got the Dodgers in there too. Right, it'll be an interesting schedule coming back. But, yes, it was garbage on the schedule, but we said watch them lose in Toronto and Detroit and blame the travel.
Right, and they didn't.
And they won.
Okay, good.
So that doesn't, just...
You're putting words in our mouth. We said if they struggled against those two teams, we wouldn't have been surprised if they used the trip as an excuse.
You expected them to struggle, though, didn't you?
It's an if.
So I'm going to give them credit now for not being a train wreck.
For coming back and winning 5 of 6. When they could have used that thing as an excuse and gotten worse.
So again, for not being a train wreck, I give them credit.
Well, it does stop the bleeding, Maz, doesn't it?
No, not really.
Because you say you get increasingly frustrated by the day when they've just won 5 of 6. That doesn't seem to make any sense.
Sure it does. Yeah, because they beat two absolutely crap bag teams.
Okay, but...
And they had to grind to do it.
So?
So again, it's the same garbage. The bullpen's still giving up runs late in games. They're still not playing good baseball, per se. They're still not pitching well. And at the end of the day, if they can't finish in the top five, what good is it? So, the 88-win pace, which is what they're on, means zero to me in a league that is, again, I use the term pass-fail. It's a top-heavy league. You've got 7 or 8 teams that are in contention, and you've got about 5 or 6 that aren't, or 6 or 7, and that's it. And right now, they are on the line between the two. And I'm sorry, given what they had coming into the year in terms of talent, what's invested in the team and what the landscape looks like, fail.
Okay.
That's a fail.
Meanwhile, a week after the owner says, I ain't spending any more money, Ken Rosenthal comes out today with a report and says the Red Sox are in on a starting pitcher sooner rather than later. And they're going to cast a wide net. So either someone changed his mind or what? You tell me our thoughts on the Red Sox going after a starting pitcher here in advance of the deadline. We'll get to that in our long commercial-free segment next.
Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's the number one thing you look at that needs to be different very dramatically, has to change if the Red Sox are going to pin down a playoff spot, be it a wild card spot or make a run at the Yankees?
Starting pitching. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, Chris Sale wasn't Chris Sale.
No.
I mean, if he was anything like he was in the past years, I don't know where the Red Sox would be, you know, but I think Porcello's got to get better. Price has been great. And even Eddie's been pretty good. You know, they've got him a lot of runs, but that's fifth spot, you know, I mean, that they've got to do something about that. To me, that's glaring. The bullpen will find it. If, as long as you don't wear out the bullpen, they'll be okay. And you're going to add something, you assume. So, to me, starting pitching, it all starts with the starting rotation. And that's why they're supposed to be our strength. Well, let's find out.
Dennis Eckersley, Dave O'Brien, courtesy of Ness in there. So that's another thing. So they're going after more starting pitching when I think they should be shopping in their own closet, as I like to say. Key is getting these guys straightened out. Not adding another. I mean, how much are you going to spend on your starting rotation? You keep spending money on it? Unless, and it is sort of typical Dombrowski. It's exactly what we did last year, right? We're talking about bullpen, 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 bullpen. He goes out and gets a starter, and Nathan Eovaldi. And that ultimately stretched everybody out and helped your bullpen. So maybe he's gunning for something similar. But I think what's more important is getting their current starters straightened out and trading for bullpen help. Either way, has the catching become an issue, Maz?
Well, so look, I think it has. I mean, this gets, you know, we just had, who was it? Tom and Quincy who called in. I've been singing the praises of Christian Vasquez for having the kind of offensive year he's been having, which is true. But then I wonder, have the Red Sox sold out on what they believe in the process? And let me rewind here for a minute. Go back to the beginning of the year. They got rid of Blake Swihart and brought in Sandy Leon. Why? Because the whole idea was Leon handles the staff better. Well, this year, okay, just this year, Sale and Porcello combined 0-9 with Vasquez behind the plate.
Wow.
0-9. Okay, and if you want to talk ERA, just to give you an example, with Vasquez, Sale is 7.42. With Leon, he's 3.95. So the ERA with Vasquez is almost double. And the same is true. I'm sorry, those were Porcello's numbers, but Sale's numbers are similarly skewed. 296 rather, with Leon behind the plate, 668 with Vasquez.
Jeez.
And now it's only a half dozen games with each one of those guys. Vasquez has caught Sale six times. He's caught Porcello six times. But if the whole thing is about keeping the pitcher happy and the game calling, well, then why isn't he back there all the time? Or why hasn't he been back there all the time? They're getting plenty of offense in other places now. They have to get at a catcher, too. They got to do that. So on the one hand, they want to tell us early in the year they need Leon here to handle the pitching staff. But then, because Vasquez is hitting, Vasquez gets most of the games.
So what should they do?
They should play Leon with the pitch. Getting the pitching staff in order should be priority number one.
Exactly. They're already number one in runs, as you just said.
Right. Getting the starting rotation in order should be priority number one, along with the bullpen, but I would say pitching as a whole. If Leon is that guy, well, then go with it. Like, this is, like, it feels to me they've been all over the place this year in a lot of ways. So at the beginning of the year, they didn't have Leon. They made Swihart the scapegoat. Then Leon gets here, but because Vasquez is hitting, Vasquez plays two-thirds of the time, when last year was probably something closer to 50-50. Well, which one is it? What do you value? Like, pick one. They clearly are putting stock into Vasquez's offense. Don't. If you don't believe in it, don't. Play Leon. Like, you brought him back here. Which one is it?
Okay. We continue with your thoughts. Paul in Maine. Go ahead on the Sox.
Hey, if Megan Rapinoe and Kawhi Leonard made a baby together, I think we could possibly save the world. Love those two. Listen, before we anoint Nathan Eovaldi as the bullpen savior, let me give you some numbers. He averages 7 Ks per every 9 innings compared to Matt Barnes, who averages 16 per 9. I do like guys that can get swings and misses, and Eovaldi is notorious for playing in the strike zone. He could be trouble. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a rat's ass do you guys care about tonight's home run derby?
This is 0.0.
Zero.
0.0. The only thing I care about is that Yelich bagged out. Thank God. Wayne and Grafton, your thoughts on the Sox. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, Vasquez, for real. You know, the way I think about that, I'd like to know what kind of cough medicine that he's taking. Maybe what he's left in his locker. And, you know, they were talking about the All-Star game. I hate all kinds of All-Star games. I mean, the fans, I'm a fan, but fans shouldn't vote. Go by your stats. I know you guys are talking about soccer. I hate all kinds of soccer. The women's team, I'll give them a golf clap. They should get their money because they performed well. But, you know, I'm an older guy. I say, hey, honey, hand me the remote, get me a beer, and start supper.
That's not what we're doing anymore, Wayne. It's a whole different world. Whole different world. All-Star games.
Couldn't give a rat's ass.
Oh my God!
I think complete, you know. Look, I've said this a million times. You know what would make me interested in the All-Star game? New rules. Show me new rules. Show me a runner on second every other inning to start the inning, so I can see what would happen in extra innings. Show me what would happen if you went to 3 balls and 2 strikes instead of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of 4 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what would happen if you put the clock in, the pitch clock. Show me how it works. Like, this idea of implementing it in the minor leagues so they can get a big sample, that's great. I'm not against that, because a big sample means something. When does the fan get to see it?
All-star games in all sports, archaic. Archaic. They come from a time when games weren't televised. National, you know, you didn't see every game every night, so you never got to see other players from other parts of the country or other divisions, or there's your one chance. AL, NL, you never saw them play against each other. You never saw those guys play. You were in American League City. You never saw Willie Mays play. I get it. So then you have an All-Star game. You can see Willie Mays play. That made sense. It makes no sense when you see every game in every market, whenever you want it, on your satellite packages and highlight packages. There's no more drama or intrigue about seeing players you've never seen before. You see them all every single day.
Which is why I say, give me something that I don't see. Give me the rules you're thinking about putting in.
Abolish them altogether.
Use it. I'm okay with use it as a lab. Make it a laboratory. Show me what it would look like to start an inning with a man on second. Show me what the pitch clock looks like. Again, most fans don't get to go to minor league games. They could go if they want, but they don't go. So you know what? Show me all this stuff. Then I might actually peer in. And not only that, the players might actually get to experiment with it and realize it's not so bad.
Meanwhile, another thing we've been discussing today is that U.S. women's soccer and the frustration for guys like me who want to see the men do something and the sport really get a foothold in this country. How come our women can play with such guts and clutch and toughness, and our men are a bunch of ninnies? Why? That's the question I've been asking all day. Bobby in the car, do you have an answer for me?
Yeah, I just want to say, I think the reason why the women are better than the men in soccer is because of American football here. Because when you get to high school, football and soccer fall in the same season, so you got to pick one or the other. So you take 100 boys, 50 of them are going to try out for football for 50 spots, whereas the girls, you take 100 of them, they're trying out for all 100 of them are trying out for 12 spots, and that's where the talent separates.
I understand, but you know, Bobby, my answer to that is our second 50 is still better than Argentina's first 50. So, yep, I'll give you the first 50 go to play another sport. Now we're stuck with the second, third, and fourth strings. Those are still better athletes than you produce in 80% of the countries that we lose to on a regular basis in men's soccer. We have the athletes to be much, much better than we are. That just misses the mark. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So please, don't give me that. That's not the reason.
There's something we're not doing right about how we teach the development of the game. The game. Because even the ones that are getting into the program aren't getting good enough.
Brendan and Bill Ricka, your answer to that question.
I think that comes down to the fact of how the youth perceives it. Like when you're in high school or even younger, you get made fun of if you're playing soccer. Not to turn this political, I hate politics.
No. Anymore, you don't.
It really comes down to the fact that that second group of athletes, even the third group of athletes, they're hearing the kids who are playing soccer get made fun of. So they're like, why bother going there? Let me try to go D4, D3 in football or baseball, not even get a scholarship and just move on with the rest of my life.
So let me stop you. When I was in high school, yeah, mm-hmm. I played football, and we used to find the soccer players and shove them in lockers. Yep, absolutely. Grab them by the back of the underwear and hang them up in a locker. Easy. Soccer ninnies. Absolutely. Does that exist anymore?
I don't think so.
Not even close.
Not at all.
I don't believe that it does. In fact, I think the kids now are like, they're so diverse and they do so many different things that they actually kind of embrace it all.
I felt like that went away when I was in high school and I graduated in 94.
Thank you. Maybe mine was the last, and I doubt it, you know, I'm sort of half joking, but the soccer players will look down upon, you know, not tough enough to play football, so you play soccer. I don't think that exists anymore. Look at that handsome fellow right there. That is solid.
The hair hasn't changed all that much. That's
no, it's really true. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Best hands going, Murray. If I had size, speed, toughness, work ethic, physicality, I would have been something.
It's a good match with that elite hand-eye.
My hand-eye elite was – I had the hand-eye. I'm telling you, nothing else, though.
What's the logo for U.S.? What is that?
University School Milwaukee, baby. There it is.
I thought it was you suck.
Here's Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.